centurion's sweat. You can almost smell his fire still in the air. There was probably an eerie light of the dawn sky outside the city. There was quiet. The hush of the morning and the sound of the leaves rustling in the breeze. And stars in the sky. You know, there must have been stars in the near dawn sky in the Passover full moon, still visible. In the midst of all these things, the cold night, the air might have created dew on the warm, hewn rock of the grave. But Scripture tells us only a few things, none of these. Early on the first week, day of the week, Scriptures say Mary Magdalene comes to the tomb and sees that the stone has been removed. In all four Gospels, she runs to Peter and the disciples whom Jesus loved. And hearing the news, they rush to the site where they encounter the empty tomb and the burial linens. This sparsely detailed scene is pretty much all that's portrayed in the Gospels. A simple scene. An empty tomb. That's it. But human imagination, as it is, couldn't leave it to that. So in the ages that follow, Christian art, literature, and music depict the resurrection. It's always done with great triumph. Typically, in art, Jesus is victoriously striding forth out of the tomb, while the temple guards sleep at the side. In art, there's usually bursts of light shining forth from his face, like the face of Moses coming down from Mount Sinai. But this morning, at least, I'd like to remind you that in the Gospels, in the actual scriptural accounts that have come to us from early Christian communities, this particular moment, the moment of the resurrection itself, is never directly portrayed. It's implied, it's pointed to. There are plenty of nuances. Stone rolled back, tomb standing empty, burial clothes abandoned. In some of the actual accounts, there are angels or men in white standing nearby, explaining what happened, but as to the actual moment of the resurrection, the moment when the dead corpse of Jesus is said to be raised, that moment's left to our imaginations, or to the imaginations of the artists who come after it. And that's not easy to remember, especially in this day of industrial light and magic. When specials on TV and Hollywood special effects create images that leave lasting impressions on our understanding of the biblical narrative, it's hard to remember how sparse the facts are in Scripture. But I think it's essential that we do remember this. For there's something very important, something very profound inherent in this lack of detail that's found in the actual text. And we should be on to it as a worshiping Christian community. First, let me explain something. The meager detail that we're given is not an attempt at avoidance. Let me be clear of that. It is not an attempt of avoidance by the Christian community or the gospel writers. After all, they handled the detail of Lazarus's resurrection just fine. And it's not because the communities that produced our four Gospels could not imagine the moment of Jesus' resurrection. Their imaginations were every bit as fertile and capable as ours, if not more so. Instead, I believe that the reason that the scriptures don't describe the actual event or the moment of the resurrection is because these stories were never really intended to tell us much about what happened to Jesus. In fact, these stories are not so much about Jesus. Did you hear that? These stories are not so much about Jesus. These stories, instead, are about us. Let me put it this way. At the center of our faith lies a very important understanding of Jesus Christ raised from the dead. When Paul tells us that we are the body of Christ, he is telling us that we are the resurrection body of Christ. We are a resurrection people. A long time ago, he wrote that we carry in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. What that strange sentence is trying to say is that as Christ is, so are we, as an entire people. Or to put it another way, the Jesus of our faith is a Jesus who died on the cross, rose from the grave, and became a people. We Christians are not simply a people who believe or remember what a great prophet taught. We are the living body of that prophet. We are the body of Christ. And of course, what that means is that if we want to see the moment of transformation that gives rise to the resurrected Jesus, we can begin not by looking into Scripture. Instead, we should begin our search for resurrection by looking into our own lives. Jesus is risen, not in the pages of a book, no matter how holy that book may be. Jesus is risen in a living, breathing people of flesh and blood. Jesus is risen in a people that is us. His resurrection is not some ethereal, ghostly, airy presence that has no shape or form or substance. His resurrection body is our body. We are that body. And if the resurrection is not visible today, right now, in this place, in our body, then it makes no difference whether or not we have a full description of the moment that Jesus was raised from the dead 2,000 some odd years ago. In a few minutes, the Book of Common Prayer will give us a very good way to meet the risen Christ. It will give us a chance to declare what it means to be a resurrection people. What I'm referring to is the baptismal covenant found on page 292. There, in this affirmation of our faith, we will, among other things, commit ourselves to continue to seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving our neighbor as ourselves, and to strive for justice and peace among all people, respecting the dignity of every single human being. In such promises as these, we will once again be promising how it is that resurrection may be visible in our world and in our lives today. We will be promising how to make resurrection visible. For resurrection begins not when we say we believe something, or when we sing a certain song. Resurrection is not about doctrine, certainly not about theology. Resurrection begins with what we do when we go out of this place. That's the way the gospel's always been. The kingdom of God that was proclaimed, announced, and inaugurated by the wandering Galilean peasant named Jesus was never about ideas. It was never about concepts. It was never about creeds. God's reign of justice, proclaimed, announced, and inaugurated by the wandering Galilean peasant named Jesus, was always about a way of living, a way of life. It's always been about human bodies, flesh and blood, a resurrected us. So if you want to see the risen Lord, the place to begin looking for him is in the life of service to which we're called in the world. If you want to see the risen Lord, we will not find him in an empty tomb, but rather in the midst of the life of the world we live in. That's where you'll find him. For it is only as we reach out in love and compassion when we get out of this church and strive for justice and peace in our community and in the world that we will find the presence of the risen Lord. Find him in the midst of the poor of this world. Find him in the midst of the wordless longing and the hope of all of God's people. Found in the tears that we shed and the deaths we've known in the struggles that we face. That's where we'll find him. Discover our risen Lord, the one who died and rose and became a people. For in you and in the world, Christ is present. Christ is active. Christ is working. Christ is risen indeed. Now, today, this very minute, forevermore. Amen.